Welcome to Security Guy Radio with As Is 2016. What's your name? I know your name, but tell us for our viewers who don't know your name.
Chuck, my name's Skip Sampson. I'm president of SecurityNet, which is an organization we're going to talk about here in just a second. And I'm also president of KST Security, headquartered in Indianapolis, Indiana.
I saw you guys a couple years ago at As.
Right.
IC West, I think it was, right? Yeah. Tell us what SecurityNet does in general. It's fascinating to me. You're integrators, but you're a group of integrators. Tell us how that works.
That's correct. We are a group of 21 North American integrators and three international integrators. That the best description for it is we're a federation. We're all privately held, independent security integrators. Some of us are just have one office. Others of us have 7 to 8 offices. I think our largest member has 8 offices. And we're across North America. And it really allows us to come together and do national account, regional account business, just like the big boys do, only we do it on a local level.
Are you almost bigger than the big boys?
I think we are. I can tell you that we have 73 offices across North America. We have about 1,700 employees.
Wow.
And our revenue combined in 2015 was just about $500 million.
So that's, business is good.
It is very good.
That's very good. So we're going to talk about national accounts today and how people are focusing on this. And we talked about this at ISC. Back in the day when I worked at Fox, I wanted to find somebody that could do all my 32 radio stations or TV stations, right? Couldn't find anybody. I had to hire 32 different integrators and people in different places. You've got that handle now. Explain to me how I could, as a national account, how I could come to you and get that job done.
Well, I can almost go back and correct you that you could have found someone to do all 32 radio stations, but would they have been good in all 32 of those locations?
Well, that's a good point. Okay.
That your radio stations were.
I wouldn't have a one single source back in the day, probably.
That's correct. Yeah. So that's where SecurityNet really comes in. All of us are high-level security integrators in the markets that we serve. So when a client has, for example, locations in Los Angeles, Atlanta, Minneapolis, New York, and they want one single source to do that, a lot of times when you went to the national providers, they might have been very strong in New York and Atlanta, but they might have been weak in Minneapolis and Los Angeles. Right. We are strong in every market we're in because of the partner that we have there. So we share best practices, we get together and talk about strategies to fulfill for each other, and we really take a vow to each other to treat our customers, our partners' customers, as good as or better than our best customer. So there's a relationship involved in this organization,
you
too.
You had 77 offices, I think you said?
73.
73. So how do you handle the communication on that? Listen, it's hard enough in a giant organization that's one company to talk to the, you know, paint department and get them to clean your office or something. How do you handle with 77, in essence, not different companies, but, you know, 21 different companies? How do you communicate like that?
It's a very good question. At the highest level, it's typically an opportunity as found and sold by a salesperson at the corporate headquarters of who this client is. Okay. And then sales really isn't necessary from there on out because the SecurityNet partner that has a relationship at the corporate level is selling the product and the project and determining what's going to be installed in these locations. It then drops down to the operational side of the partner's businesses. We have a group inside of SecurityNet that's called OpsNet. Those are all the operational leaders of all 21 North American companies. They get together on a monthly basis and talk about what's going on in the industry, as well as their face-to-face twice a year. But more importantly is we have a software that we call Snap, and that allows us to communicate on a real-time level everything that's going on in that project, as well as a customer portal for our clients to be able to go in and look at what's going on in Los Angeles when they're in New York, as an example. So we have a software application that's very strong that allows us to work well together.
So that really goes a long way to the customer service component, where I know I'm having consistency. And I'm guessing if I have a big project, I might have 3 of your 21 members working on that project. Is that possible?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
My company has a project that has 15 of the 21 members working on it right now.
All across the country?
All across the country.
That's amazing.
And that software application allows my client to be able to go online at any time through the client portal and see where the installation is, see where the service call is, see where the update on any of the things that we have going on with their facilities.
That's amazing customer service. That must be the best customer service. I don't know. I've been out of the business a while, but I can't think of another company that has a portal like that to check on the project.
I have heard the Nationals do. I don't know how often they use it. When we show it to customers, Chuck, they say they haven't seen anything like it, and these are big corporate 1,000 customers. They're very impressed with what we can do.
You guys have been around 20 years.
26 years.
26 years.
Yes.
Did you ever imagine it would be this big an enterprise?
Absolutely not.
How many members did you start out with?
Out with six members.
Six, okay. Mm-hmm. Now, 21 in 6 years doesn't seem that big to me, but do you keep it
21 and 26 years.
Oh, 26 years.
Yep.
Do you keep it, you know, you keep it smaller on purpose, or are you looking for new members, or what?
We do. We keep it smaller on purpose. We don't really like to have overlap in markets. And
I see. So those, all the companies in your group are covering 50 states or internationally, wherever it is. And one guy might, like you said, have seven offices, so he's a bigger company member.
That's correct.
Okay.
You know, it's a little hard to have overlap when we talk about sales strategies, best practices, and things like that. We do have some overlap. We're very close in the organization. But if you get bigger than 21, it's hard to have that personal relationship from partner to partner, because at the end of the day, Chuck, it's really about me not letting down my partner in Los Angeles, because right. I know him personally.
That's intercompany customer service between your partner.
That's correct.
Right. Now, if I wanted to be a member, and I was something really, really cool in my company that you guys would be interested in, how would I get in touch to be, you know, be considered?
Typically, they will come to the president of the organization, which I am for another year and a half, or they can really reach out to any member. We'll take a look at what the market, what the territories look like, and if we do have an opening in that area, we don't have all 50 states covered. But if there's an opening in that area, we'll then ask the integrator to fill out a survey, and then we'll have a telephone interview with them based on those survey results. Then we have an on-site interview. Then we invite them to a meeting. Then the group votes on whether they can come into the organization or not, and then they are on a 6-month probationary period as we get to know each other. We're very serious about who we let into the group. And here's an interesting point, Chuck. The membership belongs with the individual, not the company. That brings it back to that personal relationship we have between
accountability
ourselves.
Too.
Exactly right.
Right. So if you're out, your company's out.
That is correct.
Better play ball. Yeah.
Right.
What are you guys talking about it as this week? What are you trying to put? What message are you trying to get out to the
Well, there's a couple things going on. We still see an awful lot of strength in the technology refresh marketplace out there. There's still a lot of analog out there. There's still a lot of 20-year-old access control systems. There's still a lot of old technology that people haven't had the ability or the funding to replace. And because our industry has finally got a spotlight on it, we're talking about technology all the time out there in trade publications, that people are getting the budgets to actually finally be able to refresh this stuff. So we're going with IP cameras and the newest in access control technologies. There's a lot of talk about H.265 out there, which is really 4K, and it's just nice to be able to put something out there now that just blows everything away quality-wise that we've seen up to this point in our industry.
Now, another argument with the Internet of Things is I'm keeping my analog because you can't log into my refrigerator and steal all my stuff off my computer, right? So, I mean, what?
We talk about cybersecurity every day with our customers. It's important with everything that we do because everything we do today goes on the network. It really does. So we do a lot of training inside our companies to make sure the default passwords are taken out. We also stress strongly to our customers that the video needs to go on its own network. That's where the biggest holes are. And we are just constantly preaching the cybersecurity side of things because every one of those devices is a gateway in to that client's network if it's on their network.
Right. With the Internet of Things, do you think people hanging on to the analog is not a bad idea in some cases? Could analog be a good application in some environments?
I think so. Not necessarily because of the Internet of Things, but there is a market segment out there that analog is fine for. You know, we have a high definition analog now out there. Great picture quality. If you don't have a robust network that can support IP video, analog can do great things for you, and it still has its place out there.
Now, here's something interesting to me. Technology's progressing. Your technicians are learning, growing new stuff. Are we losing the analog experts eventually? Hey, that's a Victrola. I can't service that. I mean, is it going to get so old eventually that people aren't even going to service them?
You know, Chuck, in today's IP world, analog is very, very easy. You put a BNC on one end of the coax, you put another one on the other end, and you twist it on, and it works.
Okay, good.
We have certainly brought a lot of complexity in with the IP video and IP access control with the network and switch piece.
I'm going to have you look at my live stream thing because my BNC is not working on my live camera. So
I'll call a technician for you.
Skip, thanks for coming. It's been really fascinating.
Absolutely.
Give us your website again.
It's www.security-net.com.
Dash-net.com. We
got
to roll it off our tongue so it's nice and smooth.
Right.
Always a pleasure to talk to you guys.
Thanks
always
for having us in again, Chuck.
Thanks a lot.
All right.